for today is from Psalm 119. It's the longest chapter in the book of the Bible. If you think of all the Psalms as chapters in the book of Psalms, Psalm 19 is 176 verses long. So I hope you brought your lunch today so we can get through this. We're just going to take a little snippet of that. It's broken up into stanzas, 8 lines per stanza. And there's 22 stanzas, so 8 times 22 is 176. That's how you get the verses. But there's 22 stanzas because there's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. And every stanza starts with the first letter of that stanza is a letter in the alphabet of the Hebrew language. But not only is the first letter, but each of the 8 lines in each stanza starts with that letter that stanza is about. So it's just an amazing literary structure, Psalm 119. But the subject matter is what is of interest to us. And so these are just a few verses, 8 verses, verses 9 through 16 of Psalm 119. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips, I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. This is the word of God for the people of God. Amen. So how good are you at following directions? There are some people who are notorious for reading the instructions only as a last resort. Or stopping to ask for directions. Maybe if you're absolutely lost in the middle of nowhere, you might stop. Some people are like that. And I guess thank goodness for the invention of GPS. You know what those letters stand for, GPS, right? Guy's pride saver. That's, you know, guys are notorious for not stopping to ask for directions, so this little technological thing that saves our pride. So instructions come to us every day in all sorts of ways. So instructions come to us verbally. Our parents say, you know, eat all your broccoli. Our teachers say, you know, be quiet, sit down, take your seats. GPS says, in 500 feet, turn left. So verbally, we have instructions that come to us. Pictorially, there are all kinds of images that give us instructions, especially road signs. Road signs that have a picture of, you know, no right turn or no U-turn or caution, there's a school ahead. You know, so there's all kinds of pictorial directions and instructions that come to us. I remember buying a piece of furniture one time. It came in multiple boxes. And as I opened up the boxes and found the instructions of how to put the piece of furniture together, there were absolutely no words to it at all. There were just images, pictures of what's supposed to go together, when and where and how. So that's how instructions can come to us. But probably by far most prevalent are written instructions. On the side of the box, it says, some assembly required. You know, it's written there. We receive written instructions on labels, like on prescription medicine that we have. There's instructions, take once a day with water or whatever. There's cooking recipes that if you follow the instructions, you should come out with something edible. I remember one time about this time of year, I was preparing taxes one year, and I received, in the mail, I'd received a tax form number 5498. I wasn't exactly sure what to do with that. And so the IRS on its website, irs.gov, has instructions booklets. They used to be printed. You still can get the printed form, but you can go online and get them now. But most of them are 1, 2, 3 pages long about what the instructions are on every line, about what they mean and how you're supposed to use them to fill out your tax form. Well, 5498 is a 60-page publication about how to deal with what that's all about. 60 pages of instructions about what that little tax form means. That's mind-boggling enough, but then when I thought about, you know, there's probably 5,497 forms that come before this, that just is crazy too. When I was growing up, I loved to put little plastic models together of cars, boats, planes. I would be meticulous and taking an X-Acto knife and scraping off the little nubs that were on the plastic. I would paint and put decals on, glue it together, and have just a wonderful model that I'd put together. And following the instructions on how to put those together was very important. So I learned at an early age that that's critical to follow the directions. But not everything in life comes with a set of instructions. Whether it's verbal or pictorial or written, not everything that is important really in life has directions for how best to use whatever or pursue whatever we're looking at. Things like how to fall in love, things like how to find the best job, how to get through the terrible twos, how to be a successful teenager, how to be rich, how to perfectly fill out your NCAA bracket. There are just some things. You might be able to find them on YouTube these days. I mean, there's about everything on YouTube about how to do something. But for the most part, there's some things that don't have instructions. What if you could buy an instruction book that covered all of the important events in your life? Anything of significance that comes up in your life that you need help with, you just open this particular book and you can find directions on how to handle it. I think it would probably be a bestseller, don't you? In fact, there's already a book like that. It's called Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. Basic B Instructions I Before B Leaving L Earth E. B-I-B-L-E. That's the Bible. And it already is a bestseller, actually. It's been the bestseller forever. By far, it outsells all time any other book ever printed. And you probably own a copy of that best-selling book, the Bible. If you don't own a copy of the Bible, you're free to take one that's in the pews right there. Take it home with you. We want you to have it. But you have to promise that you're going to read it and you're going to follow it. That's the caveat there. And if you already have a Bible, there's a good chance that you don't make the most use of it. There's statistics out that say only 10% of Christians who own a Bible, only 10% have read it from beginning to end. And even fewer, there's a far less percentage, actually follow the directions that are in the scripture. And so listen, if you struggle in life to find your place, the Bible has direction for that. If you're looking for guidance and clear direction, you can find that in the Bible. If you seek fulfillment and meaning, you can find that in the Bible. If you need inner strength or peace, you can find that in the Bible. If you wish you had more hope for tomorrow, the Bible provides that. Every day is a precious gift that comes to us with each sunrise. And when we open that gift, when we open that package, it doesn't say some assembly required. It says lots of assembly required. Every day we face issues where we need instruction and direction, where we need hope and meaning and significance, where we need to find our way. And that's what the Bible provides. So the good news, we have all the instructions we need in Scripture. If you look at it as the big picture, and not just the individual books and chapters and verses, but if you look at it, the big picture, the Bible is salvation history of God at work for his people, in his people, through his people. If you look at the big picture, we know that what we see God doing in and for and through us gives us instruction, gives us idea, gives us insight about knowing how things should work. If you look at the big picture, the Bible is a holy teaching from God, written by inspired prophets and apostles. And so the Bible helps us know how we should live. If we look at the big picture, the Bible is a full and complete and sufficient revelation of God as found in the gospel records of the birth and life and death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so we know the truth and we know what to believe. That's the good news. The bad news is when we don't know or understand or believe what the Bible says, then we have no direction for our life. There's lots of assembly required in life, but if we don't take our clues from Scripture, our instruction, our direction from Scripture, we have no clue on how to put together a meaningful life. Now, I know sometimes reading the Bible can be confusing. I know that. It's an ancient book. We're a modern people. There's a lot to translate sometimes over the centuries. But remember what Mark Twain once said. He said, "It ain't the parts of the Bible that I can't understand that bother me. It's the parts of the Bible that I do understand that bother me." And so the Bible showing us the way to live helps us to find our way, helps us to unpack each day and live it and embrace it with meaning, lining up our life by it, following its directions. It's the default setting for us experiencing God, His power, His love, His presence in our life. Now, it's not a set of rules, and I want to say that because that was the problem in the ancient Jewish faith, is they took the Scripture as a set of rules that held them captive and prisoner, as prisoners. And in Jesus' day, he came to refute as much as he could about that their religion was weighing them down, and it was a lot to do with the rules and the laws that they had extrapolated from the Bible. The Word of God is a message to us. It's about his love for us. It's about how much that love means to us and what it can do for us and how that love becomes real for us. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the scripture says, "The word of God is alive." And it gets right down to business, addressing what's most important about who we are and how we live. And so we miss so much about energy in life and love in life and power and hope when we don't follow the directions in the scripture. And that's what Psalm 119 is about. The longest chapter in the scriptures, as I've said before, all 176 verses are about how valuable the Word of God is to us. Probably the most famous verse in Psalm 119 is verse 105, and you probably know this one. It says, "The word of God, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." We learn that one a lot, like we learn the 23rd Psalm. So when we don't pay attention to it, when we don't follow it, we are at a loss in our life. And we can end up settling for far less than what God intends for us to experience. And I thought this week, how can I best illustrate how much we're missing when we don't pay attention to God's word? And when I was thinking about that, what came to mind is remembering a time when I watched God's power team at work. Have you ever seen these guys? These guys are bodybuilders extreme. They have muscles like you would not believe. But they're also Christian evangelists. And they take their bodybuilding show on the road, and yet they also incorporate positive teaching. And if allowed to, they'll work in the scriptures as well and what the gospel message is. Sometimes they perform at schools and so on, so they're not always allowed to talk about, you know, religious things, but they at least get a powerful, positive message through. And I remember them demonstrating amazing feats of strength. And I thought that I'd try to apply that idea to the idea of the power of the Bible and do a little power demo for you this morning. And this is about what the difference is between when we take seriously and pay attention to the Word of God or when we don't. So you got that far with me? Okay, so here's a little exercise we'll do. So I've got some music ready. I'm going to take my jacket off. So we'll do this. Now these power guys, they come out and they have these 2-liter bottles, and they're so strong that they blow up a 2-liter bottle. They blow it up so big that it busts. So when you pay attention to the Word of God, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it says that every piece of Scripture is God-inspired. It's God-breathed is the Word. And so the power of God's breath blows into the Word of God. And when we read it, we get that same power. And so I thought we'd try that today. Well, I'm not very strong with that. So when we don't use God's Word for power in our life, this is what we settle for. Instead of blowing up and busting a 2-liter bottle, that's what our life is like. We just kind of have the power and the strength to blow a few bubbles. So that's one difference. I remember also these power guys, they were able to take a phone book. You remember what a telephone book is? Yeah. I could never find one. So I found a ream of paper. They're about the same size as a phone book. And these power team guys, they would take with their bare hands and they would rip a phone book right in half. Because there's power in God's Word. Do you remember Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17? The Bible says that the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. It's able to cut things out of our life that doesn't need to be there. And so they're able to tear it right up. And I'm doing everything I can, but I can't do that. And so that's what happens when we do not pay attention to God's Word. We can't really tear up a phone book, but maybe we could cut up some junk mail. You know, that's about how much power we have. It's just, we could do that. You know, if we're not paying attention to God's Word, that's what we settle for. One final thing they do is they take a board. And sometimes big 2x4, sometimes it's even thicker, and they break it across their head like that, or they break it across their knee. So that's what I'm going to try to do today. But you know, the power that we have in God's Word, the strength that we have in God's Word, Matthew chapter 4 talks about Jesus going out into the wilderness and being tempted by Satan. 40 days, 40 nights he fasted, and yet every temptation that came his way, he met with the Word of God, and that gave him power to overcome Satan and all the temptations in his life. So he just would, well, I'm not going to break my knee. But if you have the power of God's Word, that's the kind of strength you have. It's either that. It's either that, or, you know, you could take a toothpick and break it over your knee. I think I can do that. Yes, all right. Yeah, thank you very much. All right. So without the power of the Word of God in our life, we miss what God has in store for us. He means to us to have strength for every day. He means to us for us to have His breath in our life. He means for us to have the ability to cut things out of our life that don't need to be there to make our life holy and pure. He means for us to have the strength to avoid temptation and defeat Satan in his ways. And if we don't have the power of the Word of God in our life, then we're settling. We're settling for breaking toothpicks. We're settling for blowing bubbles. We're settling for cutting up junk mail. And so that's an image that I want to leave with you today, is that thought of how much power there is in God's Word. John chapter 1, verse 4, the Bible says, "The Word gave life to everything that was created." You remember how the Bible starts? In the beginning was God, and he created everything that was here. And how did things come into being? Came into being because he said, "Let there be light." Let there be stars and moons and sun and heavens. Let there be fish and birds and animals. Let there be human beings. The Word of God brought all of that to life for us. There's power in God's Word. Salvation in God's Word, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 and 2. It's by this gospel you are saved. There's healing in God's Word. Psalm 107, verse 20 says, He sent out His Word and healed them. There's forgiveness in God's Word. Luke chapter 23, remember when Jesus was dying on the cross and there was two men on either side of Him that were crucified as well. And He turned to one of them, said, today you're going to be with me in paradise. He said to those that had gathered around Him that were treating Him poorly, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. There's power. There's forgiveness in God's Word. There's holiness in God's Word. We read in verse 9 a few minutes ago, how can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. There's holiness, purity, there's power for that in our life in God's word. Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will last forever. That's how much eternity, that's how much energy, that's how much power for life is in the word of God. The question then remains, how do we plug into that power? Okay, if you're with me so far and you're tracking and you say, yes, I agree with that, there's power in the Word of God. Question is, then how do I plug into it? How do we do that? Well, Psalm 119, verse 45 gives us a clue. It says, I will keep on obeying your instructions forever. I will walk in freedom, for I have devoted myself to your commandments. Psalm 119, verse 45. There's power in obedience. The power of God comes to us through our following the scriptures, through our faithfulness to the Bible. And when that happens, then we have freedom. We have that wholeness that God intends for us to have. You know, obedience isn't the end game. Obedience is the way to what God wants for us, and what He wants for us is freedom. Remember what Jesus said in John chapter 8? He says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Exactly. That's the end game, is freedom to be holy who God has made us as holy persons. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And our obedience is the way to freedom. Now, that sounds a little awkward, doesn't it? Obedience is the way to freedom. That's because by nature it's paradoxical. It's like when Jesus says the first shall be last and the last shall be first. That doesn't sound right to our earthly ears, because that's kind of how God's kingdom is. It's upside down from our kingdom. Jesus said, you shall find your life when you lose it. He who seeks to save his life shall lose it, but he who seeks to find, well, however that goes. This is one of those. Obedience is the way to freedom. The life, the freedom that the Bible brings to us comes because we obey its teachings. I don't know how many of you have a dog or have had dogs in the past. I'm a dog guy. Cats are okay, but I'm a dog guy. and you know, if you want your dog to stay around the yard, say you let your dog out, you have to train your dog to stay in your yard. You just let him out without any training, your dog's going about anywhere. But if you train your dog to stay in your yard, and he does that, he obeys the master's commands and instructions and stays in your yard, then he can be free to roam wherever he wants to all over the yard. But if your dog, being a dog, might just kind of wander over to your neighbor's yard once in a while, that's not fun, that's not good, that's not healthy. And so if the dog won't follow the master's instructions, then the dog still needs to go outside, but you have to put him on some kind of leash, something to keep him from wandering away. And that's how it is with obedience. If we're willing to abide by, obey the teachings of the Scripture, then we have the freedom to roam and wherever we want to within the kingdom of God. We have that freedom. But if not, if we're not going to be obedient, faithful, obeying the instructions in the Scripture, then we're going to be put on a leash. And the Bible calls that leash sin. Our sin will keep us chained down. Psalm 119, verse 21. You rebuke the arrogant, those who wander from your commands and are cursed. Evil people try to drag me into sin, but I am firmly anchored to your instructions. And so there's that paradox again. Anchored to the instructions of God and yet free to live how God has designed and created and intended me to live. So God's rules in Scripture are in place to keep our life blessed, to keep it full of meaning. Even Adam and Eve in the garden, even before the fall, Adam and Eve in the garden had rules. You know, be fruitful and multiply. That was a command of God. Don't eat from the tree over there because I don't want you to. You know, so there were some rules that even Adam and Eve had in order for their life to be full and whole in the Garden of Eden. And so when we keep those rules, then we line up with what God intends for our life to be about. So, I was trying to convey the same idea to some young people years ago. Early in our ministry, we lived in Vincennes, Indiana. And that's way over on the western side of the state, right on the border with Illinois. And in Vincennes, they had Vincennes University. And at that time, it was the only two-year junior college in the state of Indiana. But now there's expanded Ivy Tech and there's others. But VU's expanded too. They're now a four-year school. But our church that we served, North United Methodist Church in Vincennes, they sat almost right on the campus of VU. They're just a block away from other school buildings and dorms and so on. Now the place has expanded. It's just kind of overrun that whole area of town, which is fine. But while we were there, we developed a college ministry, being right on the college campus. And so we invited some of the college people that we'd met to invite their friends and come. I think it was Thursday nights we met, and we had a small gym in the building, and so we set up a volleyball net, and we played volleyball. And then we'd also I'd have some little devotional thoughts, something like that, and some prayer. But it helped build some fellowship with these young kids who were away from home, but they loved to be with each other and loved to play volleyball. So we had a good time. Well, one night, to get this point across, we started playing volleyball, and there they started going, having a good time playing some volleyball. And, and about halfway through the volleyball game, I said, wait, time out, hold the ball. From this point forward in the game, there are going to be no rules whatsoever, none. You just do whatever you want to do. Ready? Go. Threw the ball back in. And it was just kind of wild to see them go at it. And for 2 minutes, they thought it was fun, and everybody was having a good time. But after about 2 minutes, it got really old, and it got dumb, and they just quit playing because it wasn't volleyball anymore. It was just ridiculousness. It's kind of what Psalm 119 is about. It's about God has some rules in place so that we can play the game according to how it works best for us for a victory. If we play by those rules, there is power, there's love, there's hope, there's meaning, significance, there's guidance. There's everything we need in Scripture. If you want to throw those rules out, well, you might have fun for about 2 minutes. But then it's going to get dumb. It's going to get ridiculous in your life. And so my challenge for all of us today, as we take seriously the Word of God and we hide it in our hearts, and we find a place to plug into its power by obedience, and whatever that means to you in whatever area of your life that applies right now. What is God's word calling you to do by way of obedience, by way of instruction or direction in your life. And take that seriously and follow God's word faithfully. Get it? Good. Let's pray together. Once again, Lord, we thank you for your word, the truth that is shaping us. And we pray that we will be open to more of its power in our life. Help us to be not just readers of the word and not even just students of the word, but help us to be doers of the word. We want to know the Bible, yes, to know you, Lord, but even to know ourselves better. And so we pray that you help us. Help us to recommit afresh and anew to taking to heart your word. And whatever that means by way of what we read and how much we read, we'll just trust you to lead us. But we're committing anew and afresh from what we've read from Psalm 119, taking our clues, we commit anew and afresh to following you, obeying what we read in Scripture, trusting your word, standing upon your promises. That's our prayer today. In the name of the Word made flesh, in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.